Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. It's free thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. We appreciate them, and we hope you do, too. Don't forget, when you're at my website, to subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our blog. We'll send it to you as well. It's updated every weekday. I hope you use it to your advantage and all the other resources that are at our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jerry Ripperger is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry is Director of Consumer Health at Principal Financial Group. You know the Principal folks. We've had quite a few of those folks on the show before. They always have some good information for us. And Jerry has been conducting some research on the field of healthcare and what's going on out there with regard to the costs and how are people handling all of that. And he's got some news for us. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, the Principal Financial Group was an underwriter of this year's Health Confidence Survey conducted by the Employee Benefit Research Institute. And needless to say, not all the findings were necessarily positive. What we found is that rising health care costs are eroding people's financial security, not surprisingly. And we're finding they're actually reducing their savings for retirement. In fact, 36% of people say they're saving less for retirement now because of health care costs.
Yeah.
And even 18% say they're having problems paying for basic necessities.
What are we going to do about this, Jerry?
Well, there's some things that there are some positives in the study as well that we saw. What we saw is that people said they understand the rising costs. In many ways, they understand some of the impacts, what's causing those costs. And they're starting to take changes in their own behaviors to start changing how they influence that. They're taking generic drugs. They're trying to take better care of themselves.
Wait a minute. Are you saying people are starting to become healthcare consumers?
Well, they report that they're starting to become healthcare consumers.
It's about time.
It is about time. Certainly, we all need to become more engaged in that process. And although people say they're starting to do that, there's unfortunately a lot of other empirical studies out there that say what they say they do and what they're actually doing may not be entirely consistent.
When I think about when I ever talk to people who still act like they're living in the 20th century paternalistic, the corporation and the government adopts me and gives me all the health care I need, health care coverage I need. When I meet people like that, I tell them one thing, and I quote a famous movie character. Her name was Dorothy, and she was talking to her dog, and she said, "We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto." And that's what I tell them. "You're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Things here, we're in the 21st century. Things here are different."
I completely agree, and it's been an interesting transition. The average employee now works for 10 employers over the course of their career.
How many?
Ten.
Ten.
So
wow.
But they still hold on to this paternalism concept of my employer is going to provide for me and provide these lifetime benefits and all of this, yet they don't make a similar promise in terms of employment.
Right. So that's the reason why we've got to make healthcare portable and market-based.
Absolutely. I mean, healthcare is unique in this country in that everything else we do, we're consumers. Whether you buy a car, a new shirt, go to a restaurant, you know, price, quality, you make decisions.
We know the price. We know the value. If we pay more than we should, it's because we want it. We're splurging on ourselves. Yep. If we don't want to, we know when to buy. We know when we want a hamburger. We know when we want a steak.
Right. And sometimes we make bad decisions. I mean, any of us can go to our closet and open up the door and look in there and say, "What was I thinking when I bought that?"
But none of us know, most of us don't know or don't take the time to think about health care that way. That, you know, sometimes maybe today I just need a hamburger, maybe tomorrow I need a steak. Maybe I need, you know, today I need a little pill, tomorrow I need a major treatment. But in the 20th century, we became adopted, basically, didn't we?
Right, and actually most of us don't need a hamburger or a steak. We need steak because we've developed a system where for $20 or whatever your copay is,
oh, yeah,
you can have either a hamburger or a steak.
Right.
or filet mignon or lobster or whatever it is that you want. And in essence, we've created rampant usage of the healthcare system by insulating people from the cost.
Right, which we've got. That's one of the. Isn't that one of the things we've got to do now? Is make sure people understand what things really cost. And don't we need to be having more dialogue with regard to the cost between the consumer and the provider?
Absolutely, and I think a great example of that is to look at laser eye surgery, and go back a decade ago and look at what laser eye surgery costs, and frankly, look at the quality of the outcomes that people receive.
Right.
And fast forward till today, the price has dropped by several orders of magnitude, and quality has improved by several orders of magnitude.
And it's primarily because that has never been part of an insurance policy, right?
That's right, because consumers have to pay for that themselves, and therefore they've gotten very engaged in that process.
So well, the technology's gotten better. The availability of it has proliferated. You've got some competition out there. Consumers are having to write that check, so they're shopping around. They're becoming smarter. It's no different from anything else, right?
Absolutely. The people who are doing it are making money. The people who are receiving the treatment are finding they get better treatment at a lower cost, and it's what Adam Smith called it, capitalism.
That's right. Yeah, that wonderful magical concept that I certainly know and love. What are some other things that you learned in your survey?
Well, certainly we learned that employees still appreciate and want to get benefits from their employer. In fact, when given the choice of additional compensation, and it was tested at a fairly high amount, about $6,700 a year, versus higher compensation and no benefits, or lower compensation and benefits, the overwhelming majority, over two-thirds of them, said, give me the benefits, give me health insurance. We think the employer can do a better job of picking it. We think they have more purchasing power. So that was very much a positive.
So they said benefits over pay increase.
Correct.
Very interesting. What about the generational? You know what? Did you break it down by generations at all? I wonder if the young people said that too.
Well, there certainly is a category of people that we call YIMs, what I call young immortal males.
they're bulletproof, right, Jerry?
That's right. You know, and they don't use their health plan, and they certainly like compensation.
Right.
But like you and me, they become mams, middle-aged, yeah, attractive males.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
Need benefits.
Exactly. No question about it. Hold on to that thought, Jerry. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jerry Ripperger, ladies and gentlemen. He is the Director of Consumer Health at Principal Financial Group. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
House is only another mile.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jerry Ripperger is here too, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Consumer Health at Principal Financial Group. Jerry, give us your website, please.
Oh, our website is www.principal.com.
Principal, like the man or the woman who was in charge of your school, that kind of a principal, or that's the way you spell it, I should say.
Yeah, but much nicer.
Exactly. No paddles, right?
No paddle.
Boy, I was intimately familiar with my principal's paddles, I'm afraid, all of them. But anyway, that's another story. Okay, we're talking about health care and what Jerry learned in the survey that he conducted on what health care was doing to people's pocketbooks. How do they feel about that? What do they think that they wanted to be going in the future? Jerry, I heard Mitt Romney, outgoing governor of Massachusetts, speak yesterday in Detroit about the way their state has become a test model, basically a beta test for how to reform healthcare on a state level. He got some help from the federal government. He got some help from some insurance companies to study and to make Massachusetts a beta test for reforming healthcare on the state level. And what they had that everybody has to pay law. Everybody has to have health insurance law. Like most states have, everybody has to have liability insurance for the cars. And I was disappointed at first because I thought it was another Massachusetts liberal thing. But when he explained it, basically what he showed was that by the state getting involved and helping people who needed help and encouraging other people to get involved and have health care, that the state actually saved hundreds of millions of dollars by doing this program. And the truth is, what he also pointed out was, the more people have health care available, the healthier they are.
Absolutely. And I like your comparison to auto insurance. You know, one of the reasons states mandate that people carry auto insurance is because there's liabilities on other parties. If you get in an accident or something should happen, and they want to make sure that the other party has protection.
Right.
Similarly, if someone gets sick, has an accident on health insurance, goes to the hospital, doesn't have insurance, we don't turn them away. We give them service.
Well, see, that's the point. That's the point he made, and he made it very well, Jerry. Let me tell you what he said. He said that a lot of politicians go around saying, we got 40, 50 million people who don't have health insurance, don't have health coverage, mm-hmm. don't have health care coverage. He said that's not true. He said there's not a human being in the United States who doesn't have access to health care. He said the 40, 50 million people that they're talking about are the people who either can't or refuse to pay for it.
Absolutely, and depending on which study you read on which day, two-thirds to three-fourths of the people who are uninsured have coverage available through their employer, but elect not to take it due to cost.
And when they need health care, they expect the state and the federal government to pick it up for them.
Absolutely.
And that's what the Massachusetts plan did. It took those freeloaders and made them pay.
Absolutely. They have an individual mandate in Massachusetts that everyone has to have insurance coverage, either through their employer, individual, or through a government program, much like they mandate that in order to drive an mm-hmm. automobile, you have to have liability coverage.
What do you think about that?
I think certainly what we have to do is look at the broader perspective and realize that, well, first, most of us are neither healthy or sick. We're healthy or sick today. Over the course of our life, we'll go through various states of health.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we need the system today or not, we will need it at some point during our life. It's important that we have everyone involved in that system to get a good spread of risk to moderate costs over time.
It's the key to the success of your industry, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's actually the key to the success of our society. It's, mm-hmm. it's not just about the health insurance industry. I mean, I would guess if we took a quick poll of your listeners today, health insurance would fall in the top 10 things that keep them awake at night.
For small business owners, it's number two after current. Now, it used to be number one, but it's currently number two after finding and hiring the qualified people.
Right. And what's one of the things you have to have to find and hire qualified people?
Benefits.
So certainly it's one of those key issues, and it's a pivotal issue for our nation and what we're going to do with it. So anything that we can do to expand coverage and to encourage people to become covered and become part of the system advances all of our initiatives.
Can I stick one more thing? There's one more wrinkle in this thing, in this state-level solution, Jerry, and that is that Governor Romney said that when he went to the insurance companies like yours, and he said, what would it take to get the price down to $200 a month for an individual? The insurance industry said, well, you got to take out all the mandates that Massachusetts puts on a policy. They load it up. You got to be able to provide all these things like unlimited in vitro fertilization, even for like a 21-year-old man. It's got to be part of that. It was just ridiculous, right? And they said, if you take all those things out, we can get it down to about $200 a month. What he said was the legislature wouldn't let him take out all of those things.
Certainly health insurance is one of the most regulated industries across the nation. We have literally thousands and thousands of mandates that can vary dramatically from Massachusetts
right.
to Minnesota to California. And the thing about those mandates is they all cost money.
And the point I wanted to make is, folks, Jerry, when we start getting into this more and more on more states around the country, and as this debate heats up, we've got to be prepared to tell our legislators, guys, back off.
Absolutely. We have to understand that for every mandate, there's an associated price with that.
And it's not a matter of whether it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, like I was talking about in vitro fertilization, we got to get rid of it. Hey, Jerry, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Jerry Ripperger, ladies and gentlemen, with the Principal Financial Group. That's principal.com. Quick break. Right back with our good buddy, Dr. Bert Folsom.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.